You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 22nd, 2021. Hear this. According to NBC News, more than 20,000 Haitians now living in South America may be trying to copy the Texas migration success. They are now tracking something of like large groups of Haitians in Latin America, including more than 20,000 in Colombia. They all want to get to the Del Rio area, where we have seen pictures of 15,000 plus living under the bridge, and now the U.S. is trying to move them out. And we were told, were we not told, that they were going to be deporting some of them? Well, they tried to do some of that. They tried. Those put on planes realized when the plane came to landing, they were back in Haiti. A lot of them got upset trying to demand get back on the plane. And there are other reports coming from other media sources, the Associated Press, in fact. The U.S. Interior Department, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, all of them are claiming that we're not releasing them into the states at this time, and we're going to be deporting many of them, or we'll be trying to hold them until we make a decision on them. And Mayorkas and Del Rio Monday said, your journey will not succeed if you come here. It's going to be illegal. Despite all of that, the AP is reporting, as they try to empty that camp under the bridge, that they are indeed putting them on buses and flights elsewhere. That's got to be answered. And the inquiries continue in Congress. You've got Department of Homeland Security Mayorkas back in front of Congress today. Congressman McCall, Republican of Texas, quizzing Mayorkas on reports that you were warned about this as early as June. Last June, months before these Haitian migrants flooded that sector. What did you do about it? Don't even bother waiting for the answer. The Border Patrol agents who blocked those Haitian migrants from entering the U.S., that's where everybody now is trying to, I say everybody, those on the left are trying to make, this is the story. Because some of the Border Patrol agents were on horses, trying to control the massive crowd, thousands as we pointed out, trying to get them to move back and, of course, keep their distance from the Border Patrol agents and the horses. And there's a visual scene of an agent on a horseback running to chase down a guy who's trying to run away, does not rope him, reaches down, grabs him by the collar, trying to get him to go back, quit trying to evade everything. And another is trying to get into the close to the horse, and the agent, the leftist is saying he's using a whip on them. He's using a whip. No, it's the reins on the horse to control the horse, and he also has a long reins so they can slap them at anybody come around so they don't get in the way of the horse. It could step on them and hurt them. Nobody's being whipped. In the meantime, the Kansas Attorney General urging the Democrat governor, send some of our people down to help Texas and Arizona. They need help. You know, Joe Biden has a Democrat Congress member, Javier Becerra, heading up the nation's federal health agency. And they brief him, this is according to Politico, they brief him on a regular basis about coronavirus and everything, but they just brief him. He's not taking a leadership role. Some of them are getting upset with him. When they had senior health officials gathered one Sunday to talk about the decision all adults should get booster shots, Becerra wasn't included. Oh, you talk about a turnaround. Democrat in Michigan, Governor Gretchen Whitmer. For those of you listening in Michigan, I know a lot of you listen up there via online. The governor has now decided, I will not enforce mask mandates in our schools or mask or vaccine mandates. The state will not do that. The governor, Whitmer, has seen the writing on the wall and says, I'm not going to do it. Finally, they got to her. She's the one who had so many lockdowns and orders and everything else. Folks were upset. You couldn't even leave your house, but she did. You had to stay within a certain area, but she didn't do that either. And in the meantime, while she has suddenly realized, I'm not going to push those mandates, there's a principal at a state elementary school in the state of Washington, sent an email to the parents that while kids are eating their lunch, you got to wear their mask even while they're chewing. If you're chewing, you got to keep your mask on.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Images of Haitian migrants being hit with whips and other forms of physical violence is completely unacceptable. This behavior must be addressed, and we must provide accountability. The images turn your stomach. It must be stopped, this kind of violence.
Those are the words of Senator, Senate Majority Leader, Democrat, New York, Chuck Schumer, on the Senate floor, just one day after insisting employers need more migrants. And he's referring, as he said, these horrible images of Haitian migrants being hit with whips. The images turn your stomach. I guess it doesn't turn the stomach of the leftists at all, in the sense that our nation is being overrun now by people that have no right to be here. They did not come through our proper immigration process. And the Democrats are just letting it happen. It's all on Joe Biden's watch. There will be very interesting history written about this if this nation still exists 50, 100 years from now, or even if it doesn't exist. And he's referring to these horrible images. There was one scene as they were covering of these 14 to 15,000 or more Haitian migrants under a bridge in Del Rio, Texas. And some of the Border Patrol agents are on horseback trying to control them, keep them contained. That's very typical. If you ever have been in a major city for some major event, if you go to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, you're going to see it. If you go into many of the cities for any major event, you're going to find horses being used as crowd control. They're big. They help move people easier than several officers with shields trying to push against them. There's less chance of someone being hurt. But the officers riding the horses also have some long reins on the horse, and they've got to keep anybody from getting near the horse, especially trying to grab the bridle and trying to control the horse. So they would slap at them with those long reins. And if you are getting too close, they swing them at to make you get away. That's what was happening, trying to make sure they maintain control of the horse, because a horse certainly could hurt someone if they got too close, step on them, knock them down, and then you all kinds of hell would break loose. But that's not the way the state-controlled media is portraying it, and the leftists are willing to suck it all up and just simply amplify it and exaggerate it to the point where you just cannot ignore the very fact. You cannot ignore the very fact that this is horrendous, or as Chuck Schumer said, it will make your stomach turn. Well, Brandon Judd with the Border Patrol says the whole thing is blown out of proportion.
If you look at all of those images, you have to look at all of the different angles. Not one of those Haitian migrants was hit with one of the reins. We use those reins to keep the people away from the horses, to protect those people. Those horses have stepped on people. They've kicked people before. They can injure people. You have to keep them away. And at the same time, you have to control the scene. We have a responsibility to everybody to control that scene so it stays put. Those individuals were not listening to simple commands by law enforcement officers, so they had to do what was necessary to put them back in the situation to where they could be under control, but in no way did we ever hit any one of those individuals.
And they have no whips. But don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi condemning what she described as the inappropriate use of what appeared to be whips by Border Patrol officers on horseback to intimidate migrants. Appears to be. That's close enough. And then you got VP Harris, who suddenly surfaced with a comment and said, we need to investigate. What I saw depicted about those individuals on horseback treating human beings the way they were, it was horrible. Even Mayorkas, the head of Department of Homeland Security, said, I was horrified by what I saw. Are you not horrified, Mayorkas, by what the hell is happening under that Del Rio Bridge, how these people have been living for days? Does that not horrify you? They are more threat to each other and the filth that they've been living in under that bridge for these last several days than one rider on horseback swinging his horse bridle rein at a migrant who got too close to his horse. And, of course, you got Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying, I don't think anyone seeing that footage would think this was acceptable or appropriate. You're wrong. I think it's acceptable. It's appropriate. You stay back for the horse. That was the whole point. And here's Mayorkas. Again, I was horrified by what I saw. He is back in front of members of Congress, and they're raising some damn good questions. Of course, you'd never get anything solid out of the man, but a question today coming from Congressman Michael McCaul, Republican of Texas. He said there was a report that came out as early as June, months before, warning of a major incoming migrant crisis at Del Rio. That's before these thousands, 14, 15,000 migrants surged to the border last week. Now, a claim had been made by the man you heard just a moment ago, Brandon Judd, with the National Border Patrol Council. He said, we've been told Del Rio was at risk, needed resources several months ago. Obviously, they got relayed up to the Homeland Security, Mayorkas and his officers. They were warned the bridge where these people are crossing at this exact spot, there would be an uptick in traffic. They were warned, but they didn't do anything. And Mayorkas would not say that he had been specifically pre-warned. He just said the surge was, quote, unprecedented. You cannot get a straight answer out of this man. Do you remember yesterday when you got Senator Johnson of Wisconsin trying to question Mayorkas, how many did you take in? Where did they go? Where have you put them in our nation? Give me a number.
how many people have been returned, how many people are being detained, and how many people have been dispersed. And I want some numbers here. So we've got, again, 1.3 million people. How many people have been returned? How many people are being detained? How many people have been dispersed to all points around America?
Senator, I would be pleased to provide you with that data.
I want them now. Why don't you have that information now?
Senator, I do not have that data.
Why not?
For me.
Why don't you have that basic information?
Senator, I want to be accurate in the information.
I'm looking for ballpark figures. Is it about half? Have we dispersed about half of that? Are we up to about 600,000 people we dispersed?
Senator, these are the tools that we employ. We use the Title 42 authority. That is the
blah, 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 blah. You're not going to get an answer out of him. You're not going to get an answer, Senator Johnson. Could be because they don't really know. Could be because they do know and they don't want the general public to know. But you're not going to get an answer. And, of course, the state-controlled media isn't focusing on that. They're focusing on a Border Patrol agent on horseback apparently using what appeared, even Pelosi said appeared to be a whip. Well, it wasn't a whip. And they've been telling us, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary saying, we're not releasing them into the U.S. And he made a statement at Del Rio the other day to Haitians and others. You come to the U.S. illegally, you will be returned. Your journey will not succeed. Associated Press is reporting, no, many are being released. You know where they're going? And Fox News is joining it. Breitbart News, others. They're reportedly being flown by Arrow Airways, a major government contractor, to U.S. destinations, including Chicago, Denver, Minneapolis, New York City, Yakima, Washington, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The Associated Press says 6,000 of them released from under the bridge, or at least released from the camp, I should say, in Del Rio, Texas. Del Rio, Texas, population around 35,000, about 150 miles east of San Antonio. There's not much else around there. And in fact, there's very little housing facilities. So all these agents that are being sent in to help control this, they don't, there's tough to find accommodations for them to stay. But none of that makes any difference, apparently, at this point. The storyline is men on horseback, Border Patrol agents, assaulting, whipping Haitians, which Mayorkas has said it's horrifying. I repeat again, and I wish to hell I could get him in front of me. You don't think it's horrifying, the conditions these people were in and living under that bridge, and you did nothing prior to that when you knew back in June you were told repeatedly by your people that they're going to be coming? And as the agents have been trying to put some on deportation flights back to Haiti, the Asians have been angered and kind of pushing back. I wouldn't say fighting, directly fighting, but they're not going complacently. And again, we don't have any numbers. We don't know what's going on because the Department of Homeland Security just either cannot or will not tell us. They just want you to focus on this issue about a man on a horseback apparently trying to whip a Haitian. And then there was another Border Patrol agent on horseback reaching down and grabbing a Haitian by his neck, but his shirt collar, and yanking him back out of the way. Oh, my God, that was also horrific. And then they're showing up at various bus stations, being brought in, put on buses, dropped off, who knows where, because Mayorkas either doesn't know or won't tell us. I saw a report somebody put up on one of the social media outlets. The guy said, look at this. This entire bus station is filled with people. All they have are little brown bags, and they have either red, yellow, or plain envelopes with them. And inside are tickets to get on a plane and go wherever that ticket authorizes. They're being given airline tickets. There's no identification of who these people are. They don't have any ID to show, and they're all sitting around in the airport without any mask on. You want to try that with TSA rules now? You want to try it? Senator Josh Hawley, Missouri, fired again, also at Mayorkas the other day in this hearing, and says, do you guys not see what you're doing and it's on your watch?
Do you bear responsibility for the crisis in Del Rio? Yes or no?
Senator, the smuggling organizations?
Yes or no, Mr. Secretary? Do you bear responsibility for the humanitarian crisis in Del Rio? Yes or no?
Senator, it is my responsibility to address the human tragedy in Del Rio, to address that, and we are doing so. That is my responsibility, and we are executing it as the Department of Homeland.
But you don't think you've played any role, and your policies have played any role in fostering and fomenting this crisis that has ensnared so many thousands of people?
Senator, what we are learning from our interviews with individuals is they are receiving false information and misinformation from the smuggling organizations that traffic in the exploitation of vulnerable individuals.
Yeah, you're not going to get an answer, Senator. I told you you're not. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Senator Schumer says, well, let's just stop deportations. They're not doing it anyway, but let's go ahead and just say stop them. You cannot make this stuff up. You want to hear it when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I urge President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas to immediately put a stop to these expulsions and to end this Title 42 policy at our southern border. That we cannot continue these hateful and xenophobic Trump policies that disregard our refugee laws. We must allow asylum seekers to present their claims at our ports of entry and be afforded due process.
Well, that is Senator Chuck Schumer, and we've had Mayorkas saying, he doesn't know what he's saying half the time. But you hear him refer to Title 42. Trump had Title 42 in place, along the CDC. CDC ruled a COVID restriction type thing. You cannot come in under Title 42, if you're carrying any kind of disease, things of that nature, especially COVID. So now Schumer just said, forget it. We're not going to stop that from coming in. And he's saying those seeking asylum are entitled to have their request heard for our nation. I will agree with that. But Trump also had a policy, stay in Mexico while we adjudicate your case. Well, one of the first things Biden did when he went in, strike that law out also. That's why we're having the surge from not just the Haitians, but everyone else, and the massive numbers that have been crossing the border since Biden took office. And in addition to the 15,000 or so we've had under that Del Rio bridge that now they're beginning to try to clear out, getting it down to maybe 8 to 6,000, and it's a total health mess under that bridge, believe me. There's reports that another 20,000 plus are on their way up. And if Mayorkas isn't going to expel them under Title 42, as he claims he was doing so, which he really wasn't, now Senator Schumer is giving him another way out. Just say, we're not going to bother with it at all. Let's just stop it. What the hell is going to happen to this country if you're going to do that? And that, again, I can't stress to you enough on this Title 42. This is one of the things that is crucial if we're talking about a concern about a communicable disease. Are we not still worried about COVID? Well, hell yes, we are. But here's Schumer saying, don't enforce it. Title 42 of the U.S. Code says, if you're coming from a country where there's communicable disease present, you're not allowed to come into our country until you're checked, which right now COVID is everywhere. And I pointed out to you the other day, the Haitian estimation of those vaccinated in Haiti, I actually over-exaggerated the numbers. I can't believe I did it. I wanted to be on the cautious side. I said no more than 5% of the population, maybe closer to 1%. I'm wrong, my friend. It is 0.02%. 0.02%. Not even 1%. And then you also have a top UN refugee official stepping in as if we need their input, saying the U.S. expulsions of the Haitian migrants may violate international law. You can't have it both ways. You're either going to not care about COVID, let anyone with COVID, untested, whatever, come in from any country, whether they're applying for asylum or just want a job, or you don't. Or you can, I guess you can have it both ways if you're the government as we've got now, and at the same time demand American citizens that you have to mask up and face mandates. And they're ignoring the reports that are coming out, documenting, numerous reports documenting, the Department of Health and Human Services documenting pages of sexual abuse against minors. Some of it happening while they're in custody of the federal government. Well, the last hour we told you about how this Woodward book about Trump and General Milley was a big deal, really exciting. They didn't mention the latest developments on the Hunter Biden laptop that even Politico acknowledges. Oh, no, no, they didn't do it. Well, we will in the next segment. And also, before we wrap up today, a campaign in Philadelphia to open up safe houses, harm reduction centers, where you can go and shoot up. That's going to help our nation, won't it? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
On the Breitbart, New York Post, Fox News rabbit hole of Hunter Biden, which I don't think anybody outside of that world understood last night. The Wall Street Journal reported that their review of all corporate records showed no role for Joe Biden on the Chinese deal. And yes, I do put more credibility in the Wall Street Journal than I do in the New York Post.
Those are the words of Jeff Zucker, president of CNN, back when the story began to come out about the Hunter Biden laptop. That audio was captured by Project Veritas because it was a conference call, and someone informed Project Veritas, you can get in on this morning conference call where we decide how we're going to cover things every day, and they were listening in and recording it. And there you have the president of CNN involved in a morning news meeting to decide what we're going to cover and how. Zucker, when he took over CNN in 2013, they were praising him then. Oh, yeah, he's a hands-on guy. And he was going to reestablish CNN. And one of the first things he did, or at least during the Trump years, pointed out there, not immediately, because it came in 2013. Well, during the Trump years, they started branding and adopting the slogan, facts first. Facts first. I told you before, if you don't have the steak, sell the sizzle. So that's what they were trying to do. And when it came to the Hunter laptop story, when it broke first in the New York Post, Zucker said, well, I just saw the same story in a Wall Street Journal, and they say there's no evidence of any business dealings, nothing on file. What kind of an idiot would simply accept if it's not on file, it doesn't exist? Well, apparently the president of CNN itself. And apparently the Wall Street Journal, who was supposedly investigating. Nothing on file is showing any business arrangement between Hunter Biden and so forth, so it doesn't exist. And I trust the Wall Street Journal, he said, better than the New York Post. So they were not going to run the story. They just ignored it. And in fact, if you remember, mainstream social media, Facebook, Twitter, they all shut down. They would not even allow New York Post to put it up on their own Facebook page. So we're not going to allow you to put up false information like that. Look where we are today. The New York Post editorial board running a victory lap, and rightly so. The original laptop story came out October 2020. CNN, NNN, MSNBC, and at that time, the rest of the mainstream media, which now amounts to the SCM, the state-controlled media, denounced it, pushed it back. The big tech giants did the same thing, refused to look at it, didn't want to investigate it, because after all, it was involving Hunter Biden, and Daddy was running for the White House. And they just said it's all fixed. They just would not allow anything to be said about it. And so here you've got in that meeting caught by Project Veritas in October 2020 regarding that story from the New York Post. You heard Zucker say it's a rabbit hole. Well, of course, if the president of your network, the one you work for, and if you are also at CNN and you're the CNN political editor, David Chalian, when you hear the boss say we're not going down that rabbit hole, you're smart enough to make your own determination. Not really your determination, but you're smart enough to follow what the boss said.
Obviously, we're not going with the New York Post story right now on Hunter Biden, and which seems to be giving its marching orders to Fox News and the right-wing echo chamber about what to talk about today. Obviously, Hunter Biden's lawyer is quoted in that New York Post piece, and we'll just continue to report out. This is the very stuff that the president was impeached over. This is the stuff that Senate committees looked at and found nothing wrong in Joe Biden's interactions with Ukrainians, and now having an email that perhaps there was a meeting with someone from Burisma is, it seems, Rudy Giuliani's sort of dream of vision of how to throw stuff at the wall in these closing days of the campaign.
Yep. Yeah, they're just going to ignore it. And there was a letter signed by more than 50 former senior intel officials at CNN and NNN highlighted. Signatories of that letter speaking out against this Hunter laptop story. Trump critics, John Brennan, James Clapper, Leon Panetta, many who work as analysts at MSNBC and CNN, and even Politico in that October 2020 headline wrote, Hunter Biden story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say, quoting the letter that I just read for you. Well, now things have changed. Last week, in fact, the New York Post pointing out today, the New York Times still called the laptop unsubstantiated last week until it quietly corrected the story, even as Politico credited its reporter and added, yeah, it was true. Whoops. And added, while the leak contains genuine files, it remains possible fake material has been slipped in. Well, of course, that can always happen. And then somebody wrote, I think from the editorial board of the Post, wrote, what part is slipped in? The parts in pictures of Hunter smoking crack? They were looking at it as all as just Russian disinformation. And the New York Post was out there saying, we've seen it, we've got it, we verified it. Well, now Politico has come out and fully acknowledged it. Yep, they're finally acknowledging. That is contrary 180 degrees from their October 2020 headline that the Hunter Biden laptop story is Russian disinformation. They are published reports from correspondent Ben Schrenker's new book, I might have mispronounced his name, I apologize, called The Bidens. And he looked specifically into the emails. And they point out that the person that did this had independent access to Hunter Biden emails confirmed. He did receive a 2015 email from a Ukrainian businessman during that time. And this was right, and that was right, and 10 held for, by H for the big guy. That's all part of the same story. And they even were able to match up the fact that Biden did rent office space in 2017, office space that matched emails on the laptop. And the New York Post editorial board says, now, while we appreciate the support from Politico, the truth is the Post reports always have been true. And it's only because the media wants to protect Joe Biden that they keep referring to the laptop as unsubstantiated. Unsubstantiated. Apparently this new book that's coming out, written by a Politico journalist, a guy that works for Politico, documents a lot of the same things that were in the original New York Post story. But they also add, but of course, could have been some false stuff slipped in. Yeah, that's true. So I guess you find one little thing, well, this isn't right, so the whole thing is wrong? You know better than that. That's not the way those things go down, is it? If they catch someone and convict them of murder, and everything's there, there's video, numerous witnesses, but more than just witnesses, with expert video that's been analyzed from every angle shows a guy did exactly what he was charged and now convicted of. But you know what? One of the witnesses said his shirt was red, it was green. The witness might be colorblind. But changing the color of the shirt does not change the act that took place. Do you think you're going to see a lot of this coverage of this story about how Politico acknowledges the Hunter Biden laptop story was pretty much on target? Do you think state-controlled media is going to be out there doing that? Do you think they're going to give this author of this book the same kind of time that they were giving Woodward and his book, Bashing Trump? May I suggest something? If you think they're going to do it and treat it the same way as they are this book called Peril that is meant to show that General Milley was the only one smart one in the room, and Trump was a deranged madman ready to launch a missile. If you believe they're going to give this book the same kind of coverage, hold your breath until they do it. Anyone near that person, you might as well call 911 right now. When we continue, Philadelphia setting up safe houses where you can shoot up crack, that's a good idea. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She
was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before we talk about the Philadelphia story, I want to go back to something I was reporting earlier for you in the first segment about recently released documents about how many cases have been documented of sexual abuse against these unaccompanied minors. These unaccompanied minors, I've told you repeatedly, that are being brought up from Mexico by men who are posing as a relative that may or may not be related to the child, and we were not doing proper DNA testing and just letting them pass on through, certainly over the last several months. And young men who wanted to come into the country were told, if you're going to go there, they're going to send you back unless you've got a child with you. So if they don't have a child, they'll find one. Now, in maybe some cases, they're buying a child from a family. Or maybe the family was thinking the child would have a better life here in America. That's assuming they survive and get here. But then when they get here, some of the voluntary agencies stepping forward, apparently there's problems happening inside those groups as well, not just the drug cartels and those who are bringing them there. The Department of Health and Human Services, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, something like 40 pages of documents from watchdog group Judicial Watch showing at least 33 instances of sexual abuse among the unaccompanied minors. All of this taking place in a one-month period, just one-month period, January 21, February 25 of this year, during the time Biden dismantled Trump's immigration policies. Judicial Watch president said these documents show shocking reports of sexual abuse occurring in shelters for these children. And he added, no surprise, because the Biden administration is enabling human trafficking. Gabe Kaminsky is a contributor to The Federalist, a senior contributor. You might also see his writing in Real Clear Politics, American Conservative. I was going to have him on the phone to discuss this story, but he's in Italy. We were texting back and forth, so he's in Italy. Now, it's about 7 hours difference. It's not that we couldn't have done it, because I'm sure if you're in Italy, you're not going to go to sleep right away. So it's approaching 10 o'clock in Italy now. So Gabe may or may not be up. I'm probably having a good time. But we couldn't really set up the communications the way we wanted to. So I said, well, I want to do your story, but I'll just make sure I credit you. Because, folks, I always believe that you should give credit to the person that has done the work. I don't want you to think I did this work. I didn't. Gabe did. And, of course, Gabe, as I always say, there's a thin line between credit and blame, but I think you deserve credit. This is a piece, again, in The Federalist talking about, and it starts off, a year after the U.S. registered the deadliest number of drug overdoses on record, there's a Philadelphia nonprofit urging the Supreme Court to allow people to freely inject themselves with drugs at what they call harm reduction centers. Harm reduction centers. They want people having a chance to go somewhere and shoot up. Now, last Friday, according to Gabe's article, dozens of former police officers and prosecutors filed a brief claiming this crack house statute does not relate to supposed harm reduction initiatives, because there is a safe house thing called that safe houses would be illegal, that as they're proposing, per the crack house statute of the Controlled Substances Act, which criminalizes running a facility for drug use. But you got folks saying, no, this is what we need to do, and we need to do this. They're trying to say that letting addicts, as Gabe Kaminsky wrote it, letting addicts shoot up is a good idea, while others are saying it has nothing to do with reducing harm. But Safe House, this group, this nonprofit group in Philly, wants to create in Philadelphia a place where addicts can bring drugs to buildings, use them, get medical care when needed. And there are other groups that are backing them up, like the Philadelphia Overdose Prevention Network, which Gabe describes as far left. He said this is already policy elsewhere. Seattle actually did it became the first city to approve injection sites for heroin in 2017. Did you know that? I did. Now that I read it, I'd forgotten about it. I did not know this. Rhode Island authorized them in July. And they're taxpayer funded. We're trying to get people off of drugs, this opioid crisis causing all these deaths. And, of course, the gang activity that goes with it. Well, that's why they're saying this would be a way to reduce harm. You can go there. You're not going to be robbed of your drugs. You can go get your drugs anyway. And come on, after all. Philadelphia saw its second highest number of drug overdoses ever in 2020. 1,214. The overdose rate in Philadelphia, four times its homicide rate in 2019. Gabe Kaminsky wraps his article by saying Safe House thinks it will solve this mess by filling up needles and propping open the door. It's far from naive. It's just evil. I second that. As always, I appreciate you listening and joining and sharing the word with others. We'll be back here tomorrow for you. Make sure you're here with your family and friends. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.